This morning for our Bible study, I would invite you to turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, and we'll begin reading at verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Now, verse 3 of Galatians 1. Get your Bible, follow along with me. Grace be to you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what Paul is going to do in these verses is describe the gospel of Christ unto us. Grace be unto you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, in these verses, particularly verses 3, 4, and 5 of Galatians 1, we see seven distinguishing marks of the gospel of God's sovereign grace. The salvation that is described throughout this Bible is clearly defined in these verses here in Galatians chapter 1. We see seven distinguishing marks. Now, I believe I can get through all seven of these in the time that I have this morning. The first one is this, the cause of salvation. The cause of salvation. Of any sinner's salvation, the foundation, first cause of everyone who is saved by God Almighty has to be traced back to the cause of salvation, which he says here, grace be to you. The cause of salvation is the grace of God, the sovereign pleasure of God. It's another way of saying that salvation is of the Lord. We see the grace of God in electing sinners unto salvation in that eternal covenant of grace. God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. We see the grace of God in justifying the guilty sinner, being justified freely by his grace, Romans 3:24, through the redeeming blood in the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation, as it is described in God's book we call the Bible, is all of grace. It's all attributed to the grace of God. The wellhead and the spring and the fountain of salvation flows from the eternal grace of God, not of works. We say, preacher, the sinner must believe. Well, that is true. Faith is the gift of God. We say a sinner must repent. That is also true. Our Lord said, except you repent, you'll perish. But faith and repentance are not born of the sinner's nature that's fallen and ruined. Faith and repentance are born of the sovereign grace of God. He's exalted to give repentance, Acts 5, verse 31. And perseverance also is the fruit of the grace of God. We contribute nothing to our salvation. You heard me right. Now listen to me. The sinner contributes nothing to salvation. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Salvation is always determined, dependent, and accomplished by the sovereign grace of God. So the cause of salvation is what? Not of works. God's purpose and grace. Secondly, we see the fruit of salvation or the results of salvation. He says, grace to you and then peace from God our Father. Grace is from God our Father through Christ and peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. Now, I've heard a lot of people say, I'm trying to make peace with God. My friend, that's impossible. A guilty, vile sinner cannot satisfy a holy God. Well, tell me then, how is peace made? Peace with God is made through the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. There is no peace with God apart from Christ. And there is no peace with God based upon my performance. Salvation is always conditioned upon the performance of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see the cause of salvation, the result of salvation is peace, reconciliation with God. Thirdly, we see Jesus Christ himself is the heart of salvation. The essence of salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He that believeth on the Son hath life. Salvation is not in a church. Now, it doesn't matter what church you're talking about, what denomination you're talking about. Salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Salvation is in a person. The essence of salvation is Christ himself. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. God's gospel is summed up in Jesus Christ, his glorious person, who he is. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ is God Almighty. We certainly preach and believe the deity of Christ. He is God, come to save his people from their sin. His glorious person. You see, Jesus Christ himself is the heart of salvation. His glorious person and his glorious redemptive work. When he had by himself purged our sin, Hebrews 1:3, he sat down at the right hand of God. His glorious person, his glorious redemptive work, and his glorious resurrection. He was delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification. The heart of salvation is Jesus Christ himself. Look at the text again, Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, who gave himself for our sins. Now that's my fourth point, the means of salvation. He gave himself as a sacrifice unto God for our sins. The apostle said, I'm determined to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. He says again in Galatians 6, verse 14, I'm determined. Not only determined, but God forbid I should glory save only in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's talking here about Christ crucified as my substitute. This is the means and the only means that God has ordained to secure everlasting salvation for his people. We call this the substitutionary satisfying sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ crucified is God's only provision for atonement and the forgiveness of sin. Here in his love, we read in 1 John 4:10. Here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be our sacrifice for sin. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only substitute, the only Savior. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. There's only one Savior. There's only one substitute. There's only one mediator between God and men, and that is the means of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He gave himself for our sins. He said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. This is a means that God has ordained to secure the everlasting salvation for his covenant people. Now, something else we see here, we see the character or the feature or the stamp or hallmark of God's salvation. In the text here we read, and the fifth point is this, he gave himself for our sin that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Deliverance. The character of God's distinctive gospel is deliverance that is successful. He redeemed his people from the curse of the law. He gave his life a ransom for many. In the book of Job we read, God said, deliver them from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. This deliverance, the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, his atonement for sin was not an attempt to put away sin. His atonement secured deliverance for his people. Now, this word deliverance is the same word, and it means the same as redemption. We're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. He redeemed us unto God by his blood. We have deliverance. We have reconciliation in Christ Jesus. God was in Christ reconciling sinners unto himself. The Lord Jesus Christ came to rescue his people. He came to restore all that Adam lost. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of another, the Lord Jesus, the many shall be made righteous. He came to restore. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You see, the hallmark of this distinctive gospel is deliverance. Deliverance from this present evil world. He reconciled us. He redeemed us. He rescued us. He restored us. We have remission of sin through Christ, and we have blessed righteousness. Blessed is a man to whom God would impute, give righteousness without works. Preacher, how can that be? This is the distinctive mark of God's gospel, imputed righteousness because of Christ. He is called the Lord, our righteousness. Now, the sixth mark of this distinctive gospel is this. All this says according, all his salvation works according to the will of God. The source of salvation is the will of God. All this gospel, this salvation is according to the sovereign will of God. He works all things after the counsel of God's own will. Salvation is by the sovereign, eternal purpose and will of God. Salvation, now listen to me carefully. I know we hear a lot of preaching today about, well, God's done all he can do. Now it's left up to the sinner's free will. The sinner is not free. His will is in bondage to his ruined, rotten nature. The will of the sinner is like free-running water. Free-running water always seeks its lowest course. Free-running water is always downhill. And the will of the depraved, fallen sinner is always selfward and downward, never Godward and upward. Salvation is always by the will of God. Now here's a scripture that, one of the scriptures of many that verify that. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. That's James 1:18. And then John 6:44 and 45 says, our Lord said, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. And then in Psalm 65:4, blessed is a man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto him. In Isaiah 64:6-8, the scriptures declare that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and because of that, our God declares, no man stirs up himself to seek the Lord. Now what this scripture teaches, if any man does bow to Christ and believe on Christ, it is because of the will of God. The will of God. We're born by the born of God, spiritually born from above, by the sovereign will of God. Now, lastly, we see this. These are the seven distinguishing marks of God's gospel. In Galatians 1:5, all this works to this glorious end, in the grand design of God in saving sinners, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The purpose of God's salvation in the whole bottom line is this, his glory. Now, who gets the glory in saving sinners? Certainly not the sinner, because salvation is dependent upon God. He says here, according to the will of God, to whom? Who is worthy of the glory? Well, none but God himself. If you would carefully look at Ephesians 1:3-14, where it talks there about the sovereign electing will of God. It's all to the praise of the glory of his grace. Where it talks about the particular redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's all to the praise of the glory of his grace. And then in Ephesians 1, where it talks about the sovereign irresistible work of the Holy Spirit in calling and quickening, it's all to the praise of the glory of God's grace. You see, everything in the scheme of God's salvation works to this one end, that is the glory of God. Now, if you would like to listen to this message again on the seven distinctive characteristics of God's gospel, you can write to me at this church, 6088 Zebulon Highway, Pikeville, Kentucky,